At 33, he's been more successful than most performers in their lifetime. A former teen idol with 18 gold records and 2 hit television series to his credit, he is now a Broadway star. David Cassidy is currently at the O'Keefe Center, and he's playing the lead in the acclaimed musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I love the reviews, David, because they use words that you think would apply to a man much older than you. Trooper is one of them.
Trooper, yeah.
Work the crowd is another one.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very nice when they give you good reviews, and as opposed to not getting good reviews. I guess that what that really means is I know what I'm doing, and I've been doing this for 15 years, I guess, now. And I should hope that I know what I'm doing at this point.
Because if you don't by now, you're never going to.
I'm in a lot of trouble.
But you have, I've noticed in one of the things that I was reading about you, redirected your ship. You are in charge now. You are changing the gears. You decide whether you're going to stay in second or whether you're going to go into overdrive.
Hopefully I do. I'm now much more in control of my own destiny and what I do in my life and my career, as opposed to years ago during the 5+ years that I was doing the Partridge Family and touring all around the world. They were pretty much in control of my life, and they, because I had to give up my name and likeness, which was always a big one. It's a big contract.
Is that what it says in the contract?
Well, yes.
I hereby give up my name and likeness?
So to speak. That's eerie. It is eerie. They can do pretty much what they want, and consequently, you get to see things out there, merchandise out there that you had no control over and certainly had no approval of, like David Cassidy dresses, David Cassidy lunchboxes,
bubblegum
cards, and comic books, and magazines, and pillowcases, and all kinds of fun stuff.
You know, there'd be a lot of teenagers that would think that was really hitting that was it, that's nirvana. Instead, it turns around to be a kind of golden prison.
Well, it does. I'll tell you, for me, during those years, I worked 18 hours a day. I had 2 record careers, both as the Partridge Family and myself, and I was out touring the world and playing concerts. And the live performances were wonderful. I got to, as I do now every night in Joseph, I got to at least reach the people, and I got to get that feedback from them. And believe me, standing at the focal point of 40,000 kids screaming at you, and it was a very much an expression of love and intensity, was a remarkable feeling, I must tell you. And I often used to say I'd like to have everybody just stand in my shoes for 10 seconds just to feel.
But I wonder about the cost factors. There's a really well-known television show that you've probably seen where it opens with a woman saying, "You've all got big dreams, you all want fame. Well, fame is going to cost you." So, aren't we talking about what it costs?
There is a big price to pay for fame, there's no question about it. And that kind of, that meteoric kind of teen idol adulation and all of that, that kind of success is very difficult to come out of and to buck. In my personal life, it became a very difficult thing for me, because people would come up to me in the street and just go gaga. I mean, they would not actually believe that I could be standing in front of them. And I had some very and interesting, very difficult ones, you know, as you're just about to put the spaghetti in your mouth at a restaurant, you know, someone comes up and shows a poster of you or a magazine of you in front of it. And, you know, there are people that were indeed polite and are polite, and there are people that are not, that are insensitive to, you know, and they come up and have, you know, be all over me. And I would be embarrassed, and I found my life just became, it became a necessity for me to be insulated. And I consequently was very unhappy, because I lived very much alone and a very empty kind of an existence. And when you were brought up to believe that, you know, you should become successful and famous and all of that, and and you make a lot of money, and you do all of that at the age of 21, and you turn around and say, you know what, I'm really unhappy. This just isn't getting it for me. There's something wrong. What's the matter with this picture here?
But aren't you lucky that you survived that? I mean, we know of television people that didn't. Freddie Prinze comes to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you at least could stand back and say, hey, this really isn't working for me, and I better walk away from it.
I really understand what a lot of his pain and his anguish, and you have to really live that kind of a life to understand it. And I mean, a better example, and one that's closer to mine, was Elvis.
Yes.
I mean, I lived the same kind of lifestyle, and I had to make a decision whether to either to continue to perpetuate this lifestyle and the business of David Cassidy and the image and all of that stuff, or stop and live. I mean, because that was not living. And I mean, poor Elvis, he couldn't make it.
No,
he was so attached to being Elvis and living that kind of a lifestyle. And you really do want to just get numb. You don't want to deal with what reality is.
Well, nobody wants their soul torn at, and that's what was happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have thought maybe the product of a show business family would have protected you a little bit about that, because just because you've seen it, you know, and so by osmosis you think, hey,
There is nothing that can prepare you for being what I was. There's nothing other than being able to deal and handle the commitment that it takes to work and to be successful in this business is one thing. But being able to handle the way people were relating to me and having thousands of people trying to rip your clothes off and people jumping over your gates and trying to get into your... I mean, I had my gallbladder taken out in 1972. And I had been opened up, they took my gallbladder out, I had jaundice, and I was lying in intensive care. And honestly, they had guards all around the hospital for security. There was a girl who actually got through the security and got through the kitchen and came up, and they caught her just about to go in as I was in intensive care. She had all these flowers and she had all this stuff like albums and things. And I just see a picture of myself lying there in intensive care with an IV unit in my arm, totally unconscious, with her trying to wake me up, going, would you mind signing this?
I had pictures of her trying to look for your gallbladder. And pickle it. And
David Cassidy's pickled gallbladder, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, now, you are thinking of going back and doing television again.
I am.
So you're obviously going back with a different kind of work commitment in your head, and you've also been quoted as saying you don't view it as a personality contest anymore. You're a serious working actor now.
I am. I have been. I started off that way in my career, and I just took a real right-hand turn during those years. And I have been working. I've been doing a lot of theater, and I've done some television things. And I like where my life is right now. I like where my career is. And it's very satisfying to have come out of that and to have been survived being that famous and being that successful in something. I think now, both internally and externally, in terms of the show business and network people and directors and so forth, see me not just as a pop star or not just as, you know, singing idol.
I've been reading stuff that suggests that teenage idols are over anyway, that it's gone.
Well, I think because there haven't been too many very big ones, and, you know, to be that kind of successful in it doesn't happen that often.
What's happening with your brothers, for instance?
Well,
both of them went into it.
Well, my brother Patrick is now in a television series called Bay City Blues, which is by the producer, creator of Hill Street Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on this season in the United States, and they just took it off. I don't know. I think they're going to put it back on. But he's a young actor who is very serious about his work, and he's a very good actor. And he's 20 years old, and he's making a real effort at doing it and carving it out. He's not going after the choosing the path that my brother Sean did, which was the day he graduated from high school. My manager took him and they got a record deal for him, and took him over to Universal and got a television series for him called The Hardy Boys. And it was sort of all, that's what he wanted. You know, since then, I mean, his goals have changed, and I assume that he's happier now doing what he's been doing, some theater and been working himself. He didn't like the run at, I mean, his show was on the air for a thing and a half, and he had a couple of hit records and did well, mm-hmm. and did the concert thing, but I think he saw very quickly that it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Well, you've certainly learned that, and David, I've enjoyed talking to you.
I've enjoyed
your honesty. And
well, thank you.
I'm certainly glad that you're...
I've enjoyed talking with you, too, and I've enjoyed also being here in Canada, so I thank you all out there, too.
Thanks, David.
See you.